Well, we've been in a series on how to turn your setbacks into comebacks. And we've talked about how we live on a broken planet. And because of that, everybody has problems. They have trials. They have difficulties. They have setbacks. And there are all kinds of setbacks. You may be experiencing one this very moment. It may be a financial setback or a health setback or a career setback or a relational setback. And what I want to do tonight is, as we've done every week, we've looked at a different person in the Bible who had a setback and how God used them to overcome, to move into victory away from the setback and have a truly wonderful comeback. And so tonight, I want us to look, and I put down here, you know, your career, your work, but it's even more than that. It could be your career. It could be your work. It could be your very life that you've had a setback in. Because you may be thinking, well, I don't have a career, or I don't even have a job right now, or I don't own a business. But listen carefully tonight, because the principles that we're going to draw out of this wonderful story where some professional fishermen were failing miserably in their fishing business until they turned to Jesus is going to make a real difference in your life and mine. And you don't have to be a fisherman. We've all heard the funny fisherman stories, and I'm not going to bore you with that, but you don't have to be a fisherman or know fisherman stories to know what a powerful, powerful truth we're going to see tonight. So if you've ever felt discouraged by your work, by your job, by your business, if you ever felt like personally you weren't getting anything accomplished, if you've ever felt fatigued, if you've ever felt like, well, you know, I'm putting my heart, I'm putting my soul into this, and maybe you've even lost a job after you'd given it your very all, well, if you've ever felt that, you've picked a good night to come to church, because tonight a miracle is what we're going to look at, and it's going to give a lesson to what we need to do when we've had a setback in life. Now, none of the fishing miracles that you've heard in your lifetime, and we've all heard the whoppers, it's amazing how they grow when people tell the fishing stories. None of those stories can compete with the fisherman miracle that we're going to see tonight in Luke chapter 5. And in Luke chapter 5, it is actually the second miracle of Jesus. It's very early in his ministry. The only other miracle that he'd performed had been the wedding at Cana of Galilee, when he turned water into wine. And now we're going to look at what happened when he was by the Lake of Galilee or the Sea of Galilee. And this is the miracle where Jesus actually calls four of the disciples to follow him. Now, let me just give you a little background here. Peter and Andrew were brothers, and James and John were brothers. And these four had a fishing business together in the beautiful northern Israel on the beautiful Lake of Galilee. It's called the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias, other names like that. But at this point, where we pick up the story tonight, Peter, James, John, and Andrew. Now remember, they're not disciples of Jesus yet. They're just professional fishermen. They're out there making a living. They're catching fish. And they've been doing it all night long on the Sea of Galilee. And guess what? Zero. Nada. Zip. Nothing. They caught nothing. And, you know, it's almost like the lake was in a recession or something. Nothing was biting. They weren't catching any fish. And maybe you feel that way tonight. You feel like you're going through some tough times. Maybe a tough time at your job, and you feel like you're catching nothing. You're out there fishing, but you're catching nothing. You've worked hard, just like these men did. And now here they are, they're coming ashore after they'd been out there fishing for 10 hours, and they're cleaning their nets, and they have nothing to show for it. And then Jesus comes along, and he's talking to a crowd. And there's a crowd of people there who are come to hear Jesus. And Jesus says to one of them, can I use your boat as a platform to speak? And we'll pick up the story in Luke 5 if you'll get your notes out. And here's where the Bible starts. It says, one day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, that the Sea of Galilee, or the Sea of Galilee, it had several names, as I said, with the people gathered, crowded around him and listening to the word of God. And he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were watching their nets. Now he gets into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon. That's Simon Peter, of course. And he asked him to put out a little bit from the shore. Then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat, sitting in the boat. Now, why did Jesus ask to borrow the boat? Well, one common sense principle may be that, you know, when you talk to hard ground, it doesn't carry. But when you're in a lake and you're over there, your voice carries a lot longer. So it may just, it's a smart communication thing here. He could have been speaking to hundreds, thousands. We don't know how many were in the crowd. But there's an even more important reason. And that is that these four men were going to be his four disciples, his first four. So he was going to ask them to leave their business and follow him. So he's got a plan that he's going to work a miracle that they're going to understand because they're fishermen. And this miracle of fish is going to happen to a bunch of fishermen. Look at verse 4. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now launch out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Now remember, they had just fished all night. These guys are two pro fishermen. And they say, Master, we've worked all night and we have caught nothing. They hadn't made a contract. They hadn't made a sale. They hadn't closed a deal. They'd worked all night. They'd fished all night and they caught nothing. You can hear the discouragement in their voice. Now, you know, sometimes that happens in life. Sometimes in life, we give it our best shot. We work hard. We do all that we know to do. And maybe even we believe God is leading us to do something. And it just doesn't pan out. You have a setback. And there are different things we can be fishing for. We can be fishing for approval. We can be fishing for somebody to love us. We can be fishing for security. We can be fishing for significance. You know, sometimes you just say, I want my life to count. And there's nothing wrong with that. Maybe you're fishing for a wife or for a husband. Or maybe you're fishing for who knows what. What are you fishing for today? I tell you, everybody is fishing for something. And when these fishermen, these four guys, did what Jesus told them to do, not only did they receive a miracle, but they were blessed in such a powerful way that they could not handle it all by themselves. They had so much of a blessing that they actually had to share it with other people. Wouldn't you love for that to happen in your life? Wouldn't you like to have an overabundance? And so Jesus uses Simon Peter's boat as a platform to preach the good news. And then the Bible tells us the rest of the story. Look at it. After Jesus finished speaking, he said to Simon, now launch out into the deep water to let down your nets for catch. And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. That's a lot of fish. So they signaled their partners, that's James and John, in the other boat to come over to them. And they came and filled both boats so filled with fish that it began to sink. Now, my friend, that is a fish story. I mean, listen, you're not going to top that one. And I'm not going to top that one. That's a flat out miracle. And here's the point. Listen to me. They caught more in 10 minutes than they caught in 10 hours when they did it the way Jesus said to do it. That's how you turn a setback into a comeback. That's called the miracle of acceleration, when God speeds things up. And they caught more in 10 minutes than they had in the previous 10 hours. Now, my friend, when you understand the miracle of acceleration, you're not going to worry about timing. You might go a month. You may go 3 months. You may go a year. You may go 2 years. But it doesn't matter, because God can turn on the faucet as quickly as the other one got turned off. You just have to learn to trust Him. He can do more in 10 minutes than you can do in 10 years if you'll do it the way He tells you to do it. Now, the first thing you need to do, if you want a miracle and you've come up empty, you need to do what they did. And I want you to write these down. Peter, James, Andrew, John, write this down. I need to give Jesus access to my life. Write that down. I need to give Jesus access to my life. If you want to go from emptiness to overflowing, it's pretty simple. You got to get Jesus into your boat. That's the starting point. If you want God's blessing on your life, on your job, on your work, on your career, if you want to move from emptiness to fulfillment, then you've got to get Jesus in the boat. Now, notice the difference here. It's the same lake. It's the same boat. It's the same nets. It's the same fishermen. It's the same fish. The only difference between nothing and overflowing is that Jesus Christ is in the boat. How many of you think that makes a difference? Surely it does. Jesus is in the boat. That's a game changer. And what you've got to do is you've got to get Jesus in your boat. You've got to give Him access to your life, to your business, to your work, to your relationships. You've got to open it all up to Him. Now, God is with them now. They're not fishing by themselves anymore. Now, they have God with them. They have the Lord Jesus Christ with them. The Master is in control. And He is leading them. He is directing them. What does it mean to have Jesus in your boat? Now listen very closely here. It means you dedicate your life, your marriage, your career, your business, your relationships. You dedicate them to Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not talking about salvation here. You could have Jesus in your life, but not in your boat. Did you hear that? You can have Jesus in your life, but not in your job. See, maybe you've trusted Jesus for your salvation, and you come to church on Sunday and you praise the Lord, but on Monday morning, you leave Jesus behind. You leave Jesus in your house. You leave Jesus at the church, and you put Him on the shelf. Well, I want to tell you, if you're doing that, certainly Jesus is not going to use your boat, because you're a part-time believer. You've got to say, Jesus, I want you to get into the boat. I want you to have full access. And when Peter did this, when Peter gave his job to Jesus for God to use, then there was an incredible blessing and results. Now, you know, we normally think that God, if we'll just be successful, then we'll serve God with our success, and that's the exact opposite. God often uses my job, or my lack, I should say, of that, to bring glory and honor to His name. Because listen to me, there can be no comeback unless there's first a setback. There can be no comeback unless there's a setback. The setback is part of God's plan. Are you listening to that? The setback is part of God's plan. Now I want to ask you a question tonight. What do you want God to bless in your life? Well, whatever you want God to bless, you need to put Him first in. If you want God to bless your time, then you need to put Him first in your time. You ought to give Him time every day. You want God to bless your week, then you need to make Him first on the first day of the week and worship Him. You want God to bless your money, then you need to give the first part of that money that's called a tithe. You give it to Jesus. So you go to Jesus and you say, Jesus, I want You to use me. I want You to use my life. I want You to use my career. I want You to use my relationships. I want You to use my work as a platform to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, some of you tonight may be going through a tough time and you're trying to change everything. Let me tell you something. These guys fished all night and they caught nothing. They didn't need to change their nets. They didn't need to change their boat. They didn't need to change their partners. They didn't need to change their location. They didn't need to change their marriage. They just needed Jesus to be in charge of the boat, for Him to get in the boat and to let Him take charge and follow Him. That is what was needed. Some of you are busy trying to change everything else. Maybe I need to move here. Maybe I need to do this. Maybe I need to do that. Well, maybe, you know, and that's not necessarily wrong. But maybe, first of all, you need to get Jesus in charge. Before you do any of that, get Jesus in the boat. Give Him full access to your life, your business, your career, your life, your relationships. Number two, I admit that my efforts aren't working. Write that down. I admit that my efforts aren't working. You're going to move from a setback to comeback. You've got to admit that your efforts aren't working. Look at Luke 5. When Jesus had finished speaking, He said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets." And Simon Peter answers, and here's his confession. "Master, we've worked all night and we have caught nothing." Do you know how hard that was for Peter to admit? I mean, Peter is a pro. Peter's good at what he does. He's a professional fisherman. He's done that all of his life. These guys are not amateurs. They are fishermen by trade. They're not weekend fishermen. These guys make a living at this. They know how to catch fish. But you know, sometimes even when you're a pro, sometimes even when you fish all night, you still catch nothing. And maybe that's what they experienced. And maybe that's what you've experienced in your life, in your work. You fish all night and you catch nothing. Now it's humbling to say that, and it's hard to say it, because these guys, their identity is tied up to their jobs. And for Peter not to be catching fish, that's like Drew Brees not passing for touchdowns in a game. And of course, he isn't right now. But I'm talking about when he's playing. Sometimes our best is just not enough. It's just not good enough. And sometimes situations are out of your control. You can't control the economy. You can't control the weather. You can't control a lot of things that will affect your life. Other people, you can't control other people. As a matter of fact, most of the major things in your life, you cannot control. So what do you need to do? Well, you need to follow these first two steps. You need to, first of all, get Jesus in your boat. And then secondly, admit that your way isn't working. Lord, we've fished all night and we have caught nothing. And we don't want to admit that. I don't want to admit it. You don't want to admit it. And there's only three reasons we won't admit it. Pride, put it on your outline. Stubbornness and fear. Fear keeps us from admitting. I fished all night. Fear keeps us from admitting. This isn't working. And look, if you want to see how God turns their emptiness into fullness, how God turns a setback into a comeback, here it is. Number three. Write this down. Do whatever Jesus tells me to do. Number three. I must do whatever Jesus tells me to do. In other words, I've got to be willing to obey Jesus Christ. Even if it doesn't make sense, even if it's illogical, even if it seems foolish, and it might appear that way to some people, but I obey what God tells me to do. Even if it doesn't make sense financially, or even if it doesn't make sense emotionally or relationally, it may seem illogical, irrational. Maybe you're confused, maybe you're scared to death, but you do it anyway if you want God's blessings. Look at this. Master, we fished all night and caught nothing, but because you say so. I obey Jesus even when it doesn't make sense. Now look at verse 5. Jesus tells them to launch out into the deep. And Simon says, Master, we worked all night. We haven't caught anything. We're empty. We've come up empty. But because you say so. I want you to underline that in the verse. Because you say so. Because that's the third key to a miracle. That's the third key in turning your setback into a comeback. It is trusting the word of God. Because you say so, Lord. Not because I think it's a smart thing. Not because it's popular. Not because it's rational. Not because it's reasonable. Not because I can afford it. But God, I'm going to do what you tell me to do because you say so. You say so. Now watch this. Now, not only is Jesus in the boat, he's now giving the fishing instructions. And notice what Peter does not do. First of all, Peter doesn't argue with Jesus, does he? When Jesus says, put those nets out, push off from the shore a little bit and put those nets out, Peter doesn't argue with Jesus. He doesn't say, excuse me, Lord, you're a carpenter. I'm a fisherman. You know about wood, but I know about fishing. And I know why make the effort. We've already been doing this for 10 hours. And Lord, I know that there's no fish out there. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't argue with Jesus. Instead, what does Peter do? Look at this. It is unquestioned obedience because you say so, Lord. Because you say so. I'm going to tell you something. God will bless your life if you will become a because you say so woman. God will bless your life if you will become a because you say so man. Lord, I don't understand it all. It doesn't make sense. But God, because you say so, I'm going to trust you in faith. Wow. Let me ask you a question tonight. What has God told you to do that you're not doing? Whatever you do, listen to me. Whatever you do, do what God tells you to do. Be the kind of person who says, because you say so, Lord, I will do it. Now notice, when you get a vision from God, three things are going to happen. When, what, and where. When you get a vision from God, it's going to be involving when, what, and where. And you've got to wait for all three parts. First, Jesus says, launch out now. That's the way, when. By the way, launch out always means take a risk. Sometimes it's risky to launch out. Sometimes it means you're going to be risking. Why? Because no faith without a risk, and without a faith, it is impossible to please God. He says, now. And then he says, what? I want you to let down your nets. And then he says, where? Launch out into the deep water. Now, look at that little phrase. Launch out into the deep water. He says, I want you to go out there. Now, why does God tell Peter to do that? Because that's where the big fish are. They're never in the shallow water. They're in the deep water. You know, I find that there are some Christians that have just enough of Jesus to make them miserable. You know, they've got enough of Jesus to where they feel comfortable at church. But then they've got just enough of Jesus that when they go to the world, they don't feel comfortable in the world. And they've got enough of the world in them that when they come to church, they don't really feel comfortable there either. There is kind of a superficial commitment. It's a superficial level. They don't launch out into the deep. They stay right there at the beach. They stay right there at the shallow water. They come to church and yet they paddle around in the shallows of life and they splash around. And maybe they even catch a minnow or two every once in a while. But God says, I want you to go out. You know what's sad about a Christian like that? They miss God's best. They do. Why is it? I've asked myself that question as a pastor. Why is it that people are so content to live a shallow life? Why are they satisfied with the shallows instead of going out into the deep? Well, one reason is it's probably, you know, safer in the shallow. There's no big waves by the shoreline. Your boat isn't going to be rocked around as much. It's not very risky to live in shallow water. That's what you think. But actually, hear what I'm saying. It is the greatest risk of all when you stay in the shallow water, because you are going to miss the very best that God has for you, the blessings that God has that are planned for you here on earth. They're planned for you. And because you won't launch out into the deep, you're going to miss those blessings. Let me tell you a little secret. One of the reasons you're going through a setback right now is that the Lord is allowing this setback in your life to force you into deeper water. He loves you too much to let you stay in the shallows. And he's forcing you to launch out into the deep and take a risk. Obeying Jesus when it doesn't make sense sometimes may seem scary and risky and dangerous, but actually it's the safest thing to do, and it's the way to have the most rewarding life at all, to live the way that God would have you to live, because then God blesses your life in a miraculous way. So thirdly, I do whatever Jesus tells me to do. Because you say so, Lord. Right here in the Word of God. You spend time there. You know, read your Bible. It's a because you say so book. It's full of the promises of God. So because you say so, Lord. And that brings us to the final thing tonight. Number four. Write this down. Expect Jesus to turn things around. Expect Jesus to turn things around. Now follow my logic here. If God tells you, go fishing, and he comes along with you in the boat, and God points to you and tells you where to let down your nets, do you think you're going to come up empty I don't think so. I mean, I imagine at this point that Peter is just quivering with anticipation. He's going, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, something's about to happen. And all of the fear and the fatigue and the frustration that he had felt from the night before, it just passed away. And he's going, this is going to be good. This is going to be wonderful. I've got Jesus in the boat, and he's telling me where to fish. He's saying, let it down. He's not afraid of failing. He's not afraid of launching into the deep. He's not afraid of taking risk. Why? Because he has God's presence in his life, in his boat, in his career, in his work. He has God's presence. I'm going to tell you something. God can get you what you need. God can take care of what you need. But you got to do it his way. You got to do it his way. Now, he can do it overnight. He can do it in 10 minutes. After all the delays and the difficulties have passed through, he can do it quickly. Notice the results, Luke 5, verse 6, when they had done so, when they'd done what? Given Jesus control. Admitted that their plans weren't working. You need to realize, I'm working for Jesus. He's in control of my life. And then, when you give God that permission and you let him in, what happens? They catch talk about a miracle. They catch so many fish that their nets begin to break. They couldn't handle the blessing. They had to signal the other persons to come over and help them. And they filled their boat so full of fish that the boat began to sink. It was more blessings than they could handle. They had to share it in order to not sink. That's how much of a blessing it was. Right now, God is looking for people to show his power through. And what he wants to do is show the world that he is God. Because that way, God gets all of the glory. Now notice Peter's reaction here in Luke 5. Look at this, verse 8. When Simon Peter saw this miracle of these fish, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." Now remember, he's not a disciple yet. He's not a Christ follower yet. He's just a fisherman, a businessman. "Go away from me, Lord. You're perfect. I don't even need to be in your presence." In other words, you're God. There's no way I deserve this kind of blessing. Look at it. For he and all his companions, they're astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John and the sons of Zebedee. Now, friends, this miracle is the turning point in the lives of these four men. Peter, James, John, Andrew. And here's the real lesson. That Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid." And of course he was afraid. But then Jesus said, look at verse 11. "From now on, you're going to catch men. You're going to be a fisher of men." What in the world does that mean? Let me just say right here and stop for a moment and say, listen, this miracle is not really about your money. This miracle is not really about your life or your financial success. It's about finding God's purpose for your life. And when Peter and John and James and Andrew begin to see this miracle, they know that God is calling them. They've seen a miracle. And they know that their lives have now are going to be following the Lord Jesus Christ. What is Jesus doing? He's getting ready to enlist these four guys. Let me show you, fellas, what I can do through a person who will put me first. Let me show you what I can do with your career if you'll put me first. Fellas, let me show you what I can do with your financial needs if you put me first. Don't be afraid, because from now on, you're going to catch men. You're going to fish for men. You know, God has a miracle for you. And I want you to understand that tonight. If you'll follow these four steps, if you'll get Jesus into your boat, you'll give him total access to your life. If you'll admit that what you've been doing hasn't been working, and I know that's a humbling thing. And then if you'll do exactly what Jesus said for you to do, and you become a because you say so type person, then God is going to begin to work miracles in your life. What is God calling you to do? I don't know. I don't know what God's calling you to do. But I know this. The call of God is strong and powerful. And he's calling you to step forward in faith and obey his word. And when you do, you're going to see miracles begin to happen. I'm going to use you. I'm going to use your life. I'm going to use it as a platform so that I can bless you. Because you say, Lord, I give you my job. I give you my career. Lord, I give you my life. Lord, because you say so. And because you're in the boat and you're telling me where to drop it, I'm following your word. If you'll do that, if you'll do those four things, that setback will become a comeback. Let's bow together for prayer. We're going to pray in just a moment. Maybe tonight you feel the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Maybe you've been stubborn. Maybe you've been fearful. Maybe a little pride is in the way, but you have to admit it's not working. And decide to do it the way Jesus wants you to do it. Father, I thank you tonight for your presence in this place. And Lord, I thank you that as they were singing a little while ago, no matter what we've been through, you can bring good out of it. And Lord, no matter what the setback is, you can turn it into a comeback through your amazing power and grace. Lord, may it be so in each of our lives. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.